Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Psalm 85. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Well, I hold in my hands two big books, Volume 1, Volume 2. The books are entitled Awakening, Now or Never, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. The author is evangelist Steve Hale. He sent me these several weeks ago. I got them in the mail. And at first I thought it was just two copies of the same book, but they are Volume 1, Volume 2, hundreds and hundreds of pages. And so I started to look at this. I started to read it, and I was like, this is tremendous. Every pastor needs to get a copy of this book. Concerned church members need to get a copy of this work. That's actually Volume 1 and Volume 2, so a copy of each of these books. But I invited evangelist Steve Hale to come on the program today and talk about these books, Awakening, Now or Never, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's a delight to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, so Steve, this is a mammoth undertaking, to say the least, because actual writing in the book, taking away appendices and things like that, it's about 650-700 pages. And so, how did what prompted this outpouring of words?
Well, Jeff, I had an experience with the Lord about 2 months prior to the pandemic, and the Lord awakened me out of a deep sleep, and I don't want to be melodramatic in trying to describe this, but this is exactly what happened. He spoke in such a manner that I'd never experienced in my 56 years of following him, and he called my name twice, and he gave the assignment of writing this book on spiritual awakening, something that was not on my radar whatsoever. I had not considered doing such a thing. In fact, back in 2006, I had written a book entitled Truth Decay, Will America Stand Mightily While Falling Morally? And then in 2016, I had written a book entitled Storm Warnings, America's Race to a Day of Reckoning. And I just assumed, Jeff, that that was the end of my writing on the subject of America. But, man, when he gave this assignment to me, I just went down to my prayer room, and I began to seek his face, and then the Lord began putting into my hands resources. And for about two years, I just read hundreds of books, articles, and so forth. And then the next 2 years or year and a half or so was spent writing the contents of the book, Awakening Now or Never.
Well, one of the things that struck me, Steve, you're a very good writer, which is always, you have great content, but you do it in a really compelling way. Your scholarship in writing these books and all the footnotes and all the backup material for what you're saying, and here's the situation in America, and you have all the stats and all the research that's done there. And so I think this is really important for a preacher to get a hold of this, because lots of these chapters preach themselves.
Well, they do, really. And I guess in some ways they could be sermons themselves. But that's the feedback, Jeff, that we're getting from the book, just what you said. People are saying, man, not only does every Christian need to have a copy of this, but Christians need to put these copies in the hands of their pastors, because according to Barna's research, and along with other studies, indicates that about 90% of our pulpits are silent when it comes to addressing the social and moral concerns of our country. And in fact, it's interesting, Jeff, that I was at the gym one day and I was scrolling through podcast options, and I came across one of Dr. Phil's podcasts. I don't typically listen to his, but I listen to yours, and I listen to other preachers as well. And but Dr. Phil, this title really captured my attention. He said, my most important season of broadcasting in 21 years. And I was wondering, you know, what makes season 21, which was last year, it was 2023, what makes this season more important than the previous two decades? And so as I began listening to his podcast, he said that the content of his episodes of his TV shows are totally driven by viewers' questions. Now, let's keep in mind that this was the number one show on TV, daytime TV, for the past 20 years. And he has 2.5 million viewers. And, of course, he's retired now as of last year. But the number one question, he said in the past 20 years, the number one question on the hearts of his viewers were things that revolved around, you know, family issues, emotional issues, addictions, identity theft, catfishing, child endangerment, and so forth. But he said with season 21, he says the number one question was this: what in the world is happening to our country? And then Dr. Phil said it was not even a close call. He said, hands down, this was by far and away the primary concern upon the hearts of our viewers. And then Dr. Phil said this. He said, I've been asking myself the same question. He said, we've now entered the danger zone. It's time to wake up. We've lost our way. We've entered now into a perfect storm. And he said, I just cannot take it anymore. And knowing what I know, I cannot sit here and be silent. Mm. And then what's interesting, Jeff, is that at the same time, that same time frame, I was reading a book by Erwin Lutzer, whom we know to be the esteemed pastor emeritus of the legendary Moody Church in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he said that in his travels throughout the country to conferences, he says among the most frequently asked questions that he gets is the question of what in the world is happening to our country. So it's fascinating that from both the secular audience of Dr. Phil and the Christian audience of Dr. Lutzer, the same question is on the surface of the hearts of the American populace. And yeah. And again, you know, what I think just makes this so concerning is that so our congregations are sitting out in our churches on Sunday mornings, and we have no reason to believe that they're not asking themselves the same questions. They're watching the nightly news, and they see all of the mess that we're in, mm-hmm. And yet our pulpits are silent when it comes to addressing this. And I would just say to any pastors that may be listening, I would really encourage you to secure a copy of the book, because like Jeff's just said, there's great sermon content here. It's well-researched, mm-hmm. And man, we are at a tipping point right now in our country.
Okay, so the subtitle, Steve, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. Why do you think the church is in such a state of complacency?
Well, it's a good question. I think you're partially correct in saying that our complacency is such that a concern for our national decline has certainly not moved us into action. In other words, our complacency really outweighs our concern. And at the same time, Jeff, I really think there's a large amount of frustration that's mixed in with the complacency. And as I've already said, you know, I think the source of frustration largely is that our pulpits are silent in addressing the concerns that weigh upon our hearts. And I think a part of the problem, Jeff, is that we've misdiagnosed these national crises that we see ourselves in. I mean, the news analysts and politicians, they'll give us a political diagnosis or an economic diagnosis or a medical diagnosis or, you know, a social justice diagnosis or a climate change diagnosis. And each of these may seem to make sense on the surface when you hear an articulate messenger or a news analyst defending their position. But for the Christian, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, you know, we have a worldview that filters everything through the lens of Scripture. And when we do that, then we arrive at a totally different conclusion. And that is that the root cause of all of the problems that we're going through really is a corporate rebellion toward God. And you know, you think about it, by our laws, our schools, with our legislation, we really issued a declaration of independence from God. Mm. I mean, instead of being one nation under God, we become one nation out from under God. Mm. And so if the diagnosis is wrong, then any proposed solution that excludes God from the equation will not provide, you know, a lasting cure. Yeah. And so implied in all of this, of course, is that the Christian church in America becomes the epicenter for spiritual awakening. And we're ground zero for the healing of our country. And I think this is one of the most overlooked and probably, you know, frustrating parts of this entire picture. The scripture says, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says the trumpet, if the trumpet sounds an uncertain sound, then who's going to prepare himself for battle? So the role that we have, that God's entrusted to us as watchmen, is a role that that we're to sound the trumpet, the alarm, and we can't afford to be lazy, complacent, distracted, or unalert.
Amen. Well, let me just read some of these chapter titles. I think you did a great job with this.
Sure.
But, so we got Truth Has Fallen, and you have a lot from Isaiah there. Chapter 2, God's Wake-Up Call to America from Amos, chapters 2 and 3. And then the question, Has America Crossed the Line? And you go to the book of Habakkuk for that. Is There Not a Cause from 1 Samuel, as David said, is there not a cause? National Distress Sent by God from 2 Chronicles. When God Abandons a Nation from the book of Romans, because three times in Romans 1, God gives a nation over and gives a society over that rejects him. Seeing Beyond an Ailing Economy, and it's a discussion with the prophet Joel. A Nation Under Siege from Daniel. Persecution Coming to a City Near You from the book of Acts. And The Missing Link in Our Awakening, 2 Chronicles. And then this one, Steve, Crickets in the Pulpit for Preachers Only. Now, obviously, that's a hot-button subject for me, too, because I see far too many preachers don't want to touch these subjects that we desperately need to preach on, because they say don't get too political, but so much in the political realm is morality. Abortion is a moral issue. Homosexuality, transgenderism, a moral issue, just down the line. And so with your travels as an evangelist since 1970s, when you encounter the preachers, do they seem fearful to you, cowardly to you, or what are you encountering?
Well, yes, I think they do, and it's really, to be quite frank about it, you know, it's affected my pastors from inviting, because I think when they see the book's title, they just assume, uh-oh, he's going to get too political, you know. But, you know, like you just said, Jeff, you know, there's no way to address the concerns that are prevailing across our country without there being some degree of political overtones. In fact, it's so interesting. One of our founding fathers, John Adams, he said, it's the duty of the clergy, the preacher, to accommodate their sermons to the times, regardless of how much it may gall the critics. And so, you know, we cannot expect an unsaved nation to factor God into the crises that we're witnessing. But, you know, neither should we expect the church to factor the voice of God out of these crises. And yet that's what we're doing by our silence. I think it may have been Dietrich Bonhoeffer or Martin Niebuhr, I'm not sure which of those two guys in Germany, but one of them said that our silence, he said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where we are, you know, and I think sometimes what we fail to overlook or fail to observe is we quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 about as frequently as any verse in Scripture. Mm-hmm. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. But that verse certainly indicates that God's not looking at the White House for the healing of our
right.
country, but he's indicates that he's looking at his house
right.
and within his people. But something that's often overlooked is, what was it that incentivized God's people to obey verse 14, to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways? Well, the answer, Jeff, was found in verse 13 when it says, when I shut up the heavens
right.
and there is no rain, or command the locusts to
devour
the land, or send
Steve, we're up against a break. We're talking to evangelist Steve Hale. The book is entitled Awakening, Now or Never, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to evangelist and author Steve Hale. His brand new book, Volume 1 and Volume 2, Awakening Now or Never, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. Now, Steve, in that chapter that so drew my eye about for pastors only, crickets in the pulpit for preachers only, you talk about the black-robed regiment. Tell us about the black-robed regiment.
Well, it really is an unknown piece of history, and I don't know if you watched or if our listeners watched the return event that took place on the Washington Mall back in, I think it was September of 2020, but it was stated at that time that the American Revolution, you know, as we know, took place 1775 to 1783, and that's when the colonies, of course, broke from the British Empire and officially confirmed that a new nation had now been birthed into existence. But most of us already knew that fact of history. But what I found really fascinating was that only 3% of the population fought in that war, and only 10% of the nation supplied the necessary ammunition to our troops. And what was really surprising was to learn that 50% of Americans did not even know that there was a fight for our freedom. They were completely oblivious and unaware that a spiritual battle for our freedom was being waged. And I really think, Jeff, that those numbers reflect our present battle for the survival of our freedoms right now. And, you know, what the government understood in those years was that we derived our freedom from God. And I found it fascinating that up until 1815, our Congress had already made over 1,000 calls for public days of fasting, prayer, and repentance. But you mentioned the Black Robe Brigade, and that's a reference to preachers in those days. They wore black robes, and the British considered the preachers to be their worst enemy. You know, we hear a lot of talk today about the cancel culture, but the British rode throughout the colonies burning their churches. In fact, there were 19 churches in New York City at that time, and 10 of them were burned. And so people might ask, well, you know, why would the British be so afraid of preachers? Well, it's because truth and freedom go together. Mm. It's the truth of God's word that sets us free, and it's the truth of God's word that will keep us free. And so the Christian church in America is the one institution that stands between freedom and a Marxist totalitarian government. And the preachers in those days understood that, and they were obviously bold enough and courageous enough to proclaim that truth from the pulpit. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that one of the first signs of the decline of an empire or a nation is a lack of courage. And so we just need a heavy dose of courage today within the Christian community.
Well, okay, let me ask you this, Steve, and I totally agree with you there. Chapter 4, has America crossed the line? What's your answer to that question?
Well, if I thought that America had crossed the line, I wouldn't have written the book, you know. But certainly, there is no question we are at stage 4 of the disease, in my humble opinion. We are at a tipping point. We are at, 124 generals, admirals, and highly ranked military officials said that We are at the most pivotal moment of our history since the days of the Civil War. And this is not just hyperbolic language. It's not, you know, the language of an extremist. This is where we are. But I do not think that we are beyond hope. Because I look at, you know, one of the things about the book, Jeff, that at the end of each chapter, I have what's called an awakening archive.
Right.
And I go back and I look at the various awakenings, the various times when God throughout history has touched down with his intervention and given an awakening at a time when everybody thought that the nation was beyond hope. And so, you know, I do believe that as long as God's on his throne, there is hope. And one of the encouraging truths about all of the awakenings in the past is that God has always chosen to work through a minority, to work through a remnant of praying believers seeking his face. And so that is our hope. That's the common thread that weaves its way through every spiritual awakening, is the prayer of a believing remnant.
Well, okay.
So I think there is hope, but at the same time, you know, the pulse on the nation's heart monitor is beating slower by the hour. These are dire times in which we're living, for sure, and so we need to be desperate in our prayers. That's one of the things in the chapter on Jehoshaphat. You know that I talk about the missing link in our awakening, and the missing link, I think, is desperation. I think you know we have not yet reached the point of the desperation that we need to cry out to God for such an awakening.
Well, Steve, I would personally obviously love to see America, a revival to hit America, hit our world, but hit America and then turn things around in our nation for our, you know, for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. I kind of think this, I think that God, obviously the heart of God, he wants to send revival. Will you not yourself revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? It was the prayer of the psalmist. God wants to answer that prayer. I don't know if that means that the country would necessarily follow suit in terms of our direction and our pursuit of socialism, that kind of thing. I guess here's the question. Yeah. What is it about an awakening that can save the nation?
Well, we, you know, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. You know, Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew 15, he said that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. So our nation, Jeff, as we both know, has a heart problem. And only the gospel of Jesus Christ can change the heart, something no amount of legislation can do. We're beyond political deliverance in this country. And the reason we can say, that's the reason we can say with confidence that the Christian church is ground zero. But boy, the church needs to wake up. You know, I go back to the question, you know, there's the common thread that weaves its way throughout our awakenings. There were such huge consequences, or I should say results, that occurred from past awakenings. For example, bars and nightclubs were shut down. Law enforcement saw a huge decrease in crime. Churches became more evangelistic. Businesses actually received money from thieves and merchandise that was stolen by shoplifters. It was returned. You know, profanity was replaced with wholesome speech. Public acts of immorality decreased dramatically. Marriages were restored. Racism disappeared. So if God were to touch down in power, as he has in years gone by, then we could expect, I think, a transformation in our culture, because there would be a transformation of the heart. I know that sounds overly simplistic, and you know, I mean, I share what you just said, I share the same concerns that you have regarding a corporate national, mm-hmm. But again, I just, you know, you look at what happened at Asbury, you know, last year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is a strong underground constituency of Christians that are just waiting for God to do something, for God to intervene. And we saw untold hundreds of thousands of people come to Little Asbury, you know, College, to that campus, because they wanted to get in on what God was doing. And I think the same is true, whatever the church is, if God were to do something out of the ordinary that in answer to the prayers of his people, I believe that it would spread throughout the country.
Amen. We're talking to evangelist and author Steve Hale. The two books, Volume 1, Volume 2, Awakening Now or Never, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. Okay, Steve, let me ask you this. Have you gotten much negative feedback on this work?
No, just the opposite. I mean, it's been, now the book has only been published since December, so it's still fresh off the press, but the feedback that I've received, Jeff, has been so encouraging. You know, there was an award-winning journalist wrote me to say that this was a two-volume masterpiece. Mm. Now, I'm humbled for anybody to have that assessment of the book, but and what we're getting also is that when people order the book, we're finding that there's a lot of repeat orders for it. And by the way, for the listener, I'll just say we've been trying to get the book on Amazon, and we're having some challenges in that regard. So I would say to the listener to order the book, I would go to stevehaleministries.com, stevehaleministries.com, and go to our website, and you'll find the book displayed there.
Right, and that's Hale, H-A-L-E. Steve,
that's correct,
what do you say to the person? I've had some people correspond with me in this manner. You know, you guys are always, the sky is falling, the Lord's coming back at any moment, and things are so terrible, and, you know, it's really not that bad. You're just the little boy that cried wolf, and, you know, you're trying to stir people up. What do you say to the person that says, well, I don't think America's in that bad a shape? You know, we always hear every election, this is the most important election in our lifetime,
right?
Which is true. You know, you keep pushing, kicking the can down the road. But what do you say to that person that just says, I think you're just being an alarmist?
Well, and that's a common that's a common objection. I was listening to Glenn Beck episode yesterday, you know, and he was saying that he believes that if we don't make the right choice at this election, you know, that we're done as a country as we currently know it. But I would say to those who have those kinds of objections that this is not just preachers who are saying this. There's a historian, esteemed historian, William Federer. He says that, you know, America is not just at the edge of a precipice, but he says we're hanging over the edge of a precipice. And a moment ago, I alluded to the fact that 124 U.S. generals and admirals and high-ranking military officers, they signed a letter back in 2021. And here's what they said verbatim. They said the United States is a nation in deep peril and is embroiled in an existential fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time since our founding in 1776. They said our country has taken a hard left towards socialism and communism in a tyrannical form of government, end of quote. And then Michelle Bachmann, another, you know, former congresswoman from Minnesota, she said what we're witnessing right now is the end of democracy, the end of a constitutional republic. Mm. She said, I've been a student of the law, a practitioner of the law, served in state and local governments, Minnesota State Senate, U.S. Congress. And she said, internationally and domestically, I've served at every single level, but never in my life have I seen anything like what we're now witnessing. Mm. So it's not just preachers who are classified as, these are, you know, in fact, isn't it interesting? We have news analysts and commentators who now seemingly have become the prophets of our day, you know. While the pulpits remain silent, the secular news is calling us out.
Yeah, that's a sad commentary for sure. Well, I think it was Ronald Reagan who made the statement, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. And
there you
that's
go.
That's kind of what we're seeing today. Let me ask you this,
that's
Steve, because
right.
You have chapter 10, persecution coming to a city near you. I was asked by the chairman of our deacons last year, we were talking about From His Heart Ministries, and he said, you know, what do you see in the next 5 years for From His Heart and, you know, the preaching of the truth? I said, well, personally, I could see in the next 5 to 10 years me being imprisoned. For preaching the truth. And I think persecution is coming, you know, not just the cancel culture, which can be devastating. I know Eric Metaxas got canceled on his YouTube channel, just boom, one day you're gone. But where people will come after us either with, you know, arresting us or trying to harm us, trying to kill us. What do you think about that?
Well, I couldn't agree more, Jeff. As much as I would love to disagree with that assessment, I think you're just so on target. And, of course, that's what I write about in the book. I give an illustration in the book one night on Fox News. I think it was Hannity. There was a lady from Poland. She had grown up in communist Poland, and she was pleading on national television for us to wake up because she said we're headed in the same direction as Poland. And as a result of her warning on TV, she was arrested at 6 o'clock in the morning, taken away in shackles and handcuffs, sent to jail for 93 days, and fined $35,000, and her restaurant was ordered to be closed. Just last week, Jeff, I read a couple of books that on this very subject from two women that had come to America from totalitarian regimes, one from China and the other one from North Korea. The one from China, her name, I think, was Xi Van Fleet, and she had escaped from China. And she said that the indoctrination in our schools, the coercion, the cancel culture, the violence, and the weaponizing of youth is precisely what she had witnessed in growing up in China. And then here's what she said. I've been alarmed by the same social justice warriors and the critical race theory used to divide people because, she said, that's exactly what I experienced under communism. And she said the parallels between the America of today and the China that she grew up in the mid-60s, she said, it haunts me. And if we don't stop it now, these are her words. She said, if we don't stop this now, you can bet your life that America will inevitably become a communist state from top to bottom. And then the lady from North Korea, Yeomi Park, she was a defector. She came searching for freedom. She enrolled in Columbia University, and she was shocked to find the same ideology that corrupted North Korea. And she gave one example after another. So, it just seems like the only ones who are not speaking out today, by and large, are preachers. And we've just got to understand that spiritual awakening and repentance is the solution.
Amen. We're talking to evangelist and author Steve Hale. The books Awakening Now or Never, Volume 1 and 2, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give us a call with your question, your comment. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to evangelist and author Steve Hale. The excellent writings, Awakening Now or Never, Volume 1 and 2, Awakening Now or Never, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency. And as we've been talking about, the church is complacent because, by and large, so many pastors are not talking about these issues that everybody else is talking about. And so we need to stand up and speak up and speak the truth in love and be faithful to the Lord and be courageous. As the apostles prayed in Acts chapter 4, Lord, grant your servants boldness to speak as we ought to speak. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you, question or comment. And we have Michael on the line from Florida. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate the show. I just wanted to say, and I've been hearing a lot about this on AFR, and that is that there are a lot of churches that I can't even find a church in my area that will deal with any of these political issues, and it's very disturbing because I want to get involved, but there's a lot I don't understand and I need help. And I'm just frustrated because I know that I'm not the only one, that I'm not looking for a seeker-friendly soft church, and I just don't know what to do.
Great question. Well, I would encourage you for sure to pick up a copy of these books. Steve, it's stevehale.com or stevehale.org?
stevehaleministries.com.
Okay, stevehaleministries.com. Okay, so Steve, what would you say to his situation?
Well, Michael, you're one of millions, no doubt, that shares the same sentiments. There has to be somewhere within your driving distance. I would pray to the Lord. Surely there's got to be a conservative, and you know, set up an appointment with some of these pastors and share your concerns, your heart with them. But get involved in the local level. This is where we all have to begin. We have to get involved on the local level, and whether that be, you know, running for city council, speaking up at school board meetings. But I would say, Michael, I would encourage you to rally together a remnant, four or five, six or seven like-minded believers, and you all meet together, share books that you're reading and insights that you're gathering, and begin to pray to that end. But, brother, listen, I feel your heart in what you're saying, your frustration. These are the days of apostasy that we're living in right now, and it is challenging to find. I mean, there are lots of good conservative churches, but like you said, they just are not scratching where people are itching. And there's not a, you know, cut and dried answer that I can give to your question. I share your frustration. Right. But I would say, you know, make some appointments with some pastors, share your heart, and or listen to some podcasts.
Right.
You know, maybe that would, Jeff's podcast, From His Heart Ministries, great stuff. And there are other, and I would encourage you to go to the, if you don't have the One Place app, check this out on your phone, One Place app, and you're going to find probably 20 to 30 different ministry podcasts listed on that app, and Jeff's is one of them. And you're going to find a lot of preachers that will, be addressing some of the issues that you're concerned about, that we're all concerned about.
Yeah, I think, Michael, I agree with Steve on that. I think you supplement, you need the fellowship of a local church. So it's not it's not good for a man to be alone. And so we need other Christians.
That's right.
So you find a church that it seems to hold to the Bible in something. They may not touch these issues, but they hold to the Bible. And that fellowship, and then just as Steve said, you listen to other preachers that are going to hit on these subjects so that you're well informed and you can make a difference in that, in the congregation that you are attending. So that's important.
And Michael, well, I would say this also, if I might interrupt just for a brief moment, Jeff, at the end of the book in the appendices, I list 200 reliable sources for truth, and you can scan through those and also be a source for you.
Yeah, that's excellent, because a lot of people don't know. I have a young believer in our church, and she said, well, I was hearing so-and-so. Is that guy solid? Is this a good thing for me to listen to or not? And I appreciated her heart with that. But you do need to be careful, because there are a lot of people out there that may sound good and may get you all hyped up. Thinking of one guy in particular, but his theology is not strong, and it can take you down a bad path. Well, we have Paul on the line from Texas. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sure somewhere in the book he touches upon an observation that I have, and of course I think you've had more than other guests pointing it out, is that in addition to complacency, a big problem is complicity. And we have a number of pastors who call themselves Christians, and they, talking about Jesus and so on, it sounds good up to like the first 90%. And when it comes to blatant social issues like multiple genders or transsexual reassignment surgeries, they don't go near it with a 10-foot pole. And it's because deep down inside, they're really sympathetic to the what I would call the pseudo arguments of the other side, and don't really want to stand for truth. And I really identify with the previous caller, because the number of pastors who have the courage to mention something about these issues from the pulpit, and by no means am I expecting, you know, you go to your church and it's a Trump campaign headquarters, but right. I also expect that when somebody says things are going bad in America, they name it. To me, that's a key indicator. If they say, you know, I'm really concerned about where this country is headed, but they don't call out some of these things specifically, especially the low-hanging fruit that's anti-biblical to begin with, I think you've got a good warning sign that you might have a sympathetic or maybe outright complicit, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point, Paul. Steve, what would you say to the fact that, you know, just in the Southern Baptist Convention, you have a lot of guys that they want to grow the church, they want to reach people for Christ. I mean, that's good. But at the sacrifice of truth, question mark? I mean, where do you draw the line? We have to, unless there's truth, you can't get saved. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So how would you respond to Paul?
Well, thank you, Paul, for your call. And as you well know, we share your concerns there. And you're right. The silence in our pulpits makes us complicit. It makes us really accomplices to the very destructive forces that we're seeing right now. But, you know, I'm reminded of Romans 1:25 that says they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And I think that's largely where we are. And then, you know, that scripture in Romans 1 tells us how they did that. They, you know, the symptoms of that was that there was a sexual revolution, then there was a homosexual revolution, then there was a depraved or reprobate mind that resulted from exchanging God's truth. But we know the devil is the father of all lies. And so to exchange God's truth for the lie, and even to be silent, is again, it's being complicit with what were the destructive forces around us. So we've transferred allegiance from Spirit of God, who is truth, the Word of God that is truth, God who is the source of all truth. We transferred our allegiance to the father of lies, even through being silent. Again, I quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, to be silent in the face of evil is evil itself.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Steve, somebody called in and they weren't able to get on because they had a bad connection, but they want to know about purchasing the book in bulk to use as a Bible study.
I'd say reach out to our office. The phone number is 770-591-0320, and we will certainly you know, give a significant discount for bulk purchases. And we really, the book is not expensive, $25 for one, but to buy the set, both volumes, which I would strongly encourage to vote both volumes, it's $40 plus $6 shipping and handling. So $46 for the two volumes is what that would be, but that would be significantly reduced with a discount if you bought in bulk.
Amen.
But again, the number is 770-591-0320, or you could just email us at stevehillministries.com on the website there. You've got my email will show up there.
Right. All right. We have Roy on the line from Texas. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff, Pastor Shreve. Yeah, I was reading in Gatestone about the persecuted Christians around the world. 365 million Christians persecuted worldwide. You know, here in America, we have been complacent and comfortable. We don't even go to church when it's too cold or it's raining. And here are Christians around the world being persecuted. I feel in my heart that I feel like it's time that we face persecution, that we be awakened and find out who are the genuine Christians and who are the so-called Christians. Mm-hmm. I just want your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, very good. All right, Steve, what do you say?
Well, as you know, whenever persecution has occurred, the Christian church tends to flourish. It does
yes.
tend to grow, and it separates the sheep from the goats. And so you may very well be right. That may be the best blessing we could have, is to be persecuted and, you know, give us the courage that we need to stand for truth and to stand for what's right. Yeah, so thank you for that observation.
Amen. You know, it's said that it has well been said, Roy, that the blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church. And so the church doesn't do well in prosperity. It does really well in adversity and with persecution. You know, in the book of Acts, when they persecuted the church, that's when it began to spread like crazy. Acts chapter 8, they're persecuting the church, and boy, it's flourishing. And Acts chapter 9. And so so God has a plan. And, you know, I tell our church all the time this, Steve, you know, we're not called to be popular. We're called to be, and we're not called to be creative. We're not called to be ingenious, winsome, funny, all those things. Those things aren't bad in and of themselves. But the main thing we're called to be is faithful. And faithful to preach truth, faithful to hold up the cross, faithful to point people to Jesus who is mighty to save. And that's going to get harder and harder because there's going to be persecution that comes, and you're going to pay for it to lift that's up the name of Jesus. But that's what we're called to do, preach the word until the Lord takes us home or until somebody silences our lives. But either way, we win. Now, okay, Steve, let me ask you this question. Roy, thank you so much for your call. The Southern Baptist Convention, we're getting ready to meet in Indianapolis. I saw you at the last convention in New Orleans. What's your take on the state of the convention?
Well, there's certainly a strong undercurrent, Jeff, of concerns of what the direction of our convention is. I don't know that I'm the authority that needs to be answering where we are headed. I don't have a lot of inside information on what what's the agenda coming up for this year's convention. You can probably speak to that better than I can, but certainly is my prayer that we'll stand tall for truth and not capitulate to the pressures around us. You know, I don't mean to be diverting or avoiding your question, Jeff, but I was looking in volume two here for just a brief moment and looking at the haunting comparisons between America and Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. I think the listener might be interested in, because I think most of us are unaware that Germany was a democratic nation that celebrated the Christian holidays that we do today before Hitler took over. But once Hitler did take over, said that daycare centers raised children in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Christmas and Easter were taken out of the German public schools. Socialized medicine ruined the German healthcare system. Abortion became the new normal. Private education was gone by 1938. Government spending skyrocketed. Gun confiscations occurred. Free speech gradually faded. The Green Agenda was adopted. Government spying went off the charts. The German church did not want to make waves, so the pulpits became silent for fear of addressing issues of politics. The church in Germany was steered into mysticism and other deceptions. And many pastors in Germany, what you said a moment ago, preferred popularity and finding favor with the government rather than risking offending anyone with their sermons. And so we can only pray our denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, will stand tall and address these very concerns that we've been talking about the last hour.
Amen. Well, Steve, thank you so much for being my guest. Yet again, the book is titled Awakening Now or Never, America's State of Emergency Amidst the Church's State of Complacency, and Volume 1 and 2, and you can go to Steve Hale. His last name is H-A-L-E, stevehaleministries.com. I encourage pastors and church members, pick up a copy, Volume 1 and Volume 2. They are great reads in each chapter, and they stand alone, and they open your eyes to the truth, what is going on, and how we can make a difference. Because as Steve said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if God's people get right, if God's people pray, if God's people repent, revival will come. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out and shine and share. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.